Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.
Welcome to Why She's Winning with your host, Christy Rutherford, the master of office politics and self-care advocacy. Since June 2020, her clients have earned over $1 million in promotions, raises, and bonuses. Surprised that women are still getting paid during a pandemic? Well, with Christy, these success stories are the rule, not the exception. Now is the time to take your career to the next level and live a life of total fulfillment. So, let's welcome your host, Christy Rutherford.
All right. Welcome back to Why She's Winning. Today, we have Tuli, just an amazing human being. Tuli was born and raised in South Africa, and she spent most of her time in Soweto, which is one of the biggest townships location with diverse cultural backgrounds. And it is notable for some of the historic events, such as the June 16th uprising. Tuli relocated to the U.S. as a part of her work assignment and is operating within the HR space with a multinational company. Besides her professional title of absolute rock star, Tuli is a mother, daughter, grandmother, and sister, and she's passionate about life traveling, family-oriented, and impacting those people around her, and in general, spreading her love and light. She strongly believes in transferring and imparting knowledge, and kindness is one of her greatest virtues. Welcome, Tuli.
Thank you.
So I want to go to what made you, what was one of the things that happened that made you decide you needed to change and do something different? So what drove you to want to work with me and to be coached?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great question, Christy. And I think one of the things that I had that drove me really to seek your support in terms of coaching was around, I could see that I was sort of losing myself because sometimes what would happen, you know, in our lives when we encounter some of the, you'd encounter some of the events that may shake your core foundation and you end up like losing who you are as an individual, and you start developing other patterns or habits that would start to make you feel that probably you're not worthy of, mm-hmm. of some of that you have as an individual. You start doubting yourself, you start questioning a lot of things, or you start developing some of the negative things, especially having like negative internal dialogue within yourself. So that's one area that I needed to start working on, to say, this is not really who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a positive person. Whatever that has happened does not necessarily need to change my core essence of my being. And in order to be able to start reclaiming my voice, and I needed to tap to somebody that would be able to help me to channel my energies in the right direction in terms of understanding what are some of those deep-rooted seeds that probably I have allowed to infiltrate my thinking, the way I view myself, and how that is impacting me as an individual. Hence, I decided to reach out to you. And when I saw your advert, really, I think I was just drawn to that and said, okay, let me just reach out to Christy and hear what she has to say. When I had a call with you, it really, what we discussed, it really resonated with actually what I wanted to achieve and what what I had envisaged my life to be going forward. So I was really content about our first call and also the journey that we are currently in.
So talk to us about losing yourself, right? So it's not necessarily, this podcast isn't necessarily about working with me, although I'm awesome. It's really about giving women insight on the journey of where they are right now and where they can be. And the way that I want to use this platform is a lot of women feel trapped in their misery, or we think that we're too old to change, or this is the way that is going to be and I'm going to die here. So my hope with interviewing you and other people that I've worked with and some of the other guests that I have is to say it's never too late to change. So talk to the ladies a little bit about how it's never too late to change. But what was that? Was it one thing that said, you know what, I need to change right now? Or was it a series of things that led up to that one or to the phone call?
I would say it was like it was more like a series of things that has happened, but it was more or less similar pattern, because what I would experience around, because that's something that I really struggle with, was like self-doubt. You know, was one of the things that I really struggled in, which is in the past I thought something that I had really dealt with and I have overcome. But I don't know whether being in a new environment, when I relocated to the US, I started, you know, feeling that sense of, you know, self-doubt of, you know, am I doing the right thing? You know, particularly when it comes to my profession as well. And if I commit a mistake, I would tend to bash myself and be too self-critical about myself and start also, you know, overthink some of the decisions that I was taking, you know, really not trusting some of the decisions that I was making as well. And because of that, I could see that this is now becoming a circle, you know, and I'm really becoming demotivated and unhappy as well, you know, as an individual. And I wanted to see what is it that I can do in order to change that current state so that I can be able to reclaim my voice, gain to a self of having that confidence. If I make decisions, I would be, you know, being proud of those decisions that I have, you know, taken, and without having any regrets or doubt. And one other thing that I really wanted to, probably I felt that was also lacking, it's the honesty and not being true to myself, you know. So I wanted to ensure that I'm more transparent so that, you know, people can clearly see who I am, and then when I'm so that when I can also show up, I'm able to show up being authentically me and not trying to mimic other people, and also not try to get that sense of validation, because that's one other area that I struggled with. I wanted, you know, to be accepted, I wanted to be approved, and you know, I wanted people's opinion mattered over and above what what I viewed as important things for myself. So I wanted to make sure that I'm able to liberate myself. I'm able to reclaim my voice. I'm able to, you know, to not take people's affirmation and validation as being a true reflection of my of who I am, and just being my own cheerleader. You know, being my own cheerleader and celebrate me as well. So that's one area that propelled me to seek, your guidance as well, to say, how do I navigate this process? How do I really achieve that objective of really being able to be my authentic self and be able to speak up?
You know, it's interesting as you were talking, when people's opinions matter, you're losing sight of what you really want. Women are conditioned, apparently, in South Africa as well, to be people pleasers, which is huge here in the US. And your new environment, because you left South Africa and you came to the US, so a new environment only exasperated what you weren't taking care of. So I think about when I left my career and I got this cray cray boss, my forest was already on fire. So he just really threw lighter fluid on a problem that was happening. And so I was going to look forward, but I think we'll just move forward. I read an article very recently that talked about, it was a dean at a prestigious university from South Africa. She resigned because she wasn't ready for the resistance that she met in her new environment. And then I wrote, she should have called me. And I wasn't saying it arrogantly, but I was saying it because she wasn't prepared to manage the new environment. And this rolls right into, a lot of women want to be promoted and they want to get raises and they want to get to the next level. But until you do the work on this level, if you're unraveling on this level, the next level is really going to make you go splat. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and that's a true, you know, that's true, because sometimes we, as women, we may really aspire to take leadership positions as well, But I think sometimes when we are faced with a lot of opposition and also not understanding how to navigate some of those political dynamics within the organization and how to, you know, to make your voice heard in those spaces, it becomes difficult for you to be able to sustain yourself in that particular environment. And I think also one other thing that we tend to struggle with, I would say myself as well, is that as women, we want to we tend to want to be validated. And we have the belief that we, in order for us to be seen, we have to prove ourselves to show that, you know, I deserve to be in this particular role. And that's how we want to earn that respect. And when we don't get that validation and we don't get that respect, we tend to doubt our capability. And I think now with us going deeper and understanding really what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses, how can I get, you know, how can I pass this barrier of trying to please people, of trying to prove myself, but how can I make sure that I'm able to display my talents in a manner that is, you know, with humility, but also being able to showcase, you know, what I can offer without me trying to compete maybe with some of the my male counterparts or some of the women that are probably ahead of me in their career journey. But how can I just draw on my own strength in order to be able to showcase and be authentic in showing what I can offer and bring forward? So I think that's one thing that I would say maybe as women, we need to really understand who we are and what we can offer and really not doubt ourselves. Even if, you know, we would commit mistakes, but we understand that you can learn from those mistakes and move forward. So that's what I would like to encourage a lot of women, that it is not the end of the world if you commit mistakes. And it's a learning curve. All of us, we learn from there and we have to move on.
I love it. I love it. Like, I think about office politics and I say, I assist women with getting promoted through office politics and self-care. Really, it starts with the self-care, because once you become rooted from within, you're able to play the politics, and you're not even playing politics. You're just showing up to be who you are. You're playing politics when you're trying to people please, or you're shrinking, or you're distorting your energy to make somebody to like you, or you're playing, you have these psychological mind games that are going on. Like, I don't know if this woman wants to compete with me. I don't know how I'm going to show up. I'm going to go to this meeting. I don't know how what they're going to think of me. Do they like me? Am I being arrogant? You know, so once you just become rooted in becoming comfortable with who you are, you're the same person no matter which room that you're in.
Yep. True. That's so profound. I like that. Just be who you are, irrespective of the room, irrespective of the table that you sit in. Because I think people want to see your, you know, your originality or your authenticity in how you handle them, in how you deal with issues. They're not really interested in being, I would say, you know, as a lioness or being aggressive or being, no, they're not interested in that, you know, yeah.
So a lot of people talk about authenticity, and it's until you get back to who you are. It's not even who you were. A lot of people truly think that I need to discover myself. And I say, you don't need to discover yourself. You need to remember who you used to be before life put you in a headlock. Tell the ladies, what are one or two things that you did that made the biggest shift in your life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, starting the journey of really remembering, as you're saying, not really discovering myself, of remembering who Thule is, I had to really do a deep dive. And I think I like your program, Christy, because it's not something that is really like that is you just do at the surface.
But it's,
you
not, just, it's not shallow. No, it's not shallow. No, we're not playing.
Yeah, no, it's not shallow. And, you know, when you get into a program, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, this is just going to be an easy peasy thingy that I will just do and get away with, you know, with it. And then when you start really doing that deep dive, you really discover that this is something really that it's so core to your being. And the spirituality as well that is interlinked with the programs for me, it so resonated with me because I'm very spiritual. So when I got to get some of the materials, that really had to reinforce the principles that I have learned around my faith, and to say, how does that also shape my being as well? So I think your program, in terms of how it helps you to just do that digging, understand what are some of the seeds that you have allowed to gather, some of the weeds that have drowned, your positive, your positive seeds. How do you then resurrect those seeds so that they can come out and flourish, and that you can be able to show up truly as yourself? And hence we say being as authentically you, as we say. But I think it goes beyond that, because we're talking about something that has been probably those things that you have forgotten, some of the things that your greatness, your great attributes that you have, that you have sort of forgotten about, and how you were able to reach some of your goals, and how you were able to impact some of the people around you because of some of those attributes that you have. And I think your program has helped me to be able to really regain a sense of who I am through just doing that deep dive, or digging those weeds that were really suffocating and killing my positive seeds.
You talked a little bit about the spirituality piece, and there are a lot of women who feel disconnected from the creator, whatever you want to call it, universe, God, the creator, whatever. But a lot of people feel disconnected from the supreme being or the source because they're really disconnected from themselves. Does that make sense? And so once you're able to get reconnected with Thule, then you feel the grace that was always available to you. He would never leave you nor forsake you. He never left you. You left you. Woo!
And that is so true, because as soon as you lose yourself, I think we understand that, the kingdom of God, we are the kingdom of God. We are God ourselves. So once we start losing who we are, we really get disconnected to our maker or our creator, or what they call, but to me, that's my God. So once I disconnected with my God, and I started losing myself now because of, I started forgetting who he really says I am, and once I started gaining that, that faith of saying, okay, I understand. Yes, maybe I might have been shaken by these things, but I was not supposed to be shaken by those things, because I need to understand that he's always been there, and he will remain being my center as well and my source.
I say God as well. So I'm not the person to be like, well, you can call him whatever you want to, but you can, right? Because a lot of people are fighting for the same word, but we won't go into that on the show. So you talked about being in tune with God, and I wanted to wrap that back around. Is when you lose yourself, you lose the connection, and it's the perceived connection. And then there's also a difference too, between we know what the scripture says and then actually living it. People quote scripture all day, but I'm like, but have you become the scripture? So what have you learned through your journey of the things that you used to say, now the things that you are?
And that's one of, you've just highlighted one of the critical aspects, really, that, we would say that we are really, we know our foundation, we know the scriptures. But to actually live the scriptures, and also to understand what's the meaning of those scriptures as well, or what they mean to us and what they mean to those people around us as well, it might be a different story. But I think as you start looking at yourself, as you start digging deeper, and I think the materials that, we have had an opportunity to review through the program as well, a lot of the materials that, form part of the program are more centered around some of the great, great, people or writers as well, who have had their foundations as well, through the principles of the biblical principles as well, and how they have used those principles to harness their lives so that they can be at their level best, or to take them to the next level of their lives. And I think in absorbing those learnings from them, it has also helped me to get a better perspective, really, of understanding the scriptures and be able to live some of those scriptures as well. And I think I want to just touch on one of the significant things that I have struggled with. I would say, yes, we understand that the Lord said we must forgive those who hurt us and so forth. And I would say, okay, I have forgiven. In my mind, I've told myself, I have forgiven. I've moved on. I don't have to be worrying. I'm content. But I think I was just saying that I have forgiven. But in actual fact, deep down, or subconsciously, that transformation has not really taken place. And I think during the program, when we were going deeper and trying to, deal with some of those underlying factors that maybe are sort of impacting one to fully really explore the forgiveness that one is purporting to be saying, I have really achieved. So when we started doing it, I understood really that, I have the power. The power really of forgiveness lies with me. And if I forgive without expecting anything in return, that's not necessarily going to help me, not going to hurt me, but instead it's going to help and liberate me and heal me, because I'm doing that out of my core in understanding and fully saying, I forgive you. I forgive you no matter what, whether you will give me, I will get an apology from you, or whether you reciprocate that forgiveness back, it really doesn't matter. I'm doing what is right. And as they always say, that if you don't forgive, it's like you taking like a poison on a daily basis. It does kill you. But I think with this journey of mine, that was one of the huge transformation of really allowing myself to truly, truly, truly forgive without expecting anything in return. And I think that's what we should always be striving for in life. Just do, being you, doing things without any expectations. And I think it frees all of us from any heartaches as well. It just allows us to be the givers that, we expected to be. We can, we can freely give love. We can freely give kindness. We can freely give a smile. We can freely give, all those seeds of those fruits of the spirits that we're supposed to build our life around,
I love it. Hey, we need to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Have you been overlooked for promotion repeatedly, or think you need another degree to be promoted? If you're working three times as hard as your co-workers and not being paid for it, join Christy for the Why She's Winning live virtual event. At this event, you'll get the keys to how Christy assisted her clients with getting over $1 million in promotions, raises, and bonuses in a pandemic. In most cases, they didn't leave their jobs. They just showed up differently, and that was enough. If you're ready to get Christy's secret sauce to success, register at whysheswinning.com. Your life will never be the same, for the best.
And we're back. When I think about forgiveness, we do a lot of shallow forgiveness where we say it, but we really don't mean it. You be like, I forgive you. I can't stand you though, right? Like, or some people say, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. I remember when my friend was telling me about the forgiveness book in 2014 or 15 or something like that. And I was like, man, I did that already. I didn't wrote some stuff down on paper. I work with Oprah and I tear it up and then I burn it and I send the smoke out and I say, woosah, woosah, woosah. So I've done the forgiveness rituals. I've been on the mountain in Glacier Valley, British Columbia, with an Indian chief that they're like beating the drums and they got the incense and we're doing forgiveness. Like, I've done a lot. Yeah. And still there are different levels to it. So going to you when you finally forgave, which it wasn't easy. When I was like, you need to forgive somebody, and you were looking at me like, ain't no way, I'm not doing it. And I was digging in on you. I am a person who holds high achieving women accountable. I'm not gonna let you leave my care without being changed. And however you wanna call it, WWF, I'm gonna wrestle you down, or I'm gonna grind on you until you do. Because what I wanted and what I said was, I want you to forgive because I want you to see who you are on the other side of it. Talk to us about that process of when, you know, I talked about it and there was immediate rejection. But then on the other side of it, 2 weeks later, you came in looking 10, 15 years younger. We all noticed, like, and now we call you Tule Buttons, like Tule. Tule the DA's 20 years in the face in like 2 months. All through forgiveness. What has the impact been for you in your life just by forgiving?
It has been huge. It has been huge. And I must say, it was not an easy task, because I remember the session that we had. It was, you know, I think we had about four ladies in the call, on the call. And it was just, I felt like I was going crazy, and I really couldn't. And I remember leaving that call feeling that, oh my gosh, what did I just sign up for? But I must say, the encouragement, I think that's one other thing that I need to really commend the program and say, you know, in that you get to interact with really women from diverse walks of life as well. And the support structure, it's so great that, you know, you're not in a place where you'll be judged, but you're in a place where you have other women that listen and also share some of their experiences and also share some of the impart a really great advice, which is something that I really took on that night. And also from your end, just being firm, you know, to say, you know, you have to do this. Unfortunately, you know, you don't have an option in this instance. You have to do it, because if you don't,
there's no option.
There's no option. You have to do it. You have to, you know, because if you don't, then you are sort of derailing your progress and your breakthrough as well. So for me, that message hit really home. And I remember you even sent me a text message post that post the call to just to encourage me as well and to say, but I'm giving you a timeline, you know, when we convene again, I want to hear that you have really.
I want to hear about it.
What you have done, you know, have you taken the step? And from then onwards, really, I also deliberated on, you know, should I do it, should I not? But I just had to take it on my stride and confront the giant that was before me as well. And I decided to forgive, you know, send a text and just say, you know what, I just forgive you, and no explanations in terms of who, the reasons and so forth. It was just, I forgive you, and that was it. And I must say, on that day, I said that I just felt a lot of weight off my shoulders, and I felt so free and liberated, in that sometimes we tend to make small things, we create them so huge, and I think that's also what sometimes do tend to impact, you know, or you know, impact our lives as well in a lot of areas as well, because we are looking at these tiny things and just we inflate them to be bigger or something that we cannot confront. I just felt, oh my God, I could have done this a long time ago. But I think what was stopping me is it pride, which is true. It was pride as well. And I'm not going to do it because somebody has not really apologized. But it is really important that really I'm willing to lose myself and lose who I am, because I cannot forgive. So it's not an easy thing, but I think you sometimes you need to get that push. Once you have that push and you've really overcome whatever the resentment or the resistance of you really forgiving, you're able to see a different perspective about people, about yourself as well. Yeah, I've seen quite a change. A lot of people, they say I look younger. So I say, yeah. I look like I'm a teen now. So I'm okay. Thank you. That's a blessing and that's a breakthrough from just being able to release some of those toxins that, you know, you tend to harbor because of the resentment, because of the bitterness. And these are some of the things probably that you are not aware of. Mm-hmm. Or we do read about them. We do hear people, you know, being preached or being said in a lot of platforms, how those things tend to impact you. But I think once you are faced with a particular situation that really requires you to do that, that's when you draw the lessons.
I love it. I love how you're looking at it now, because that night when we were talking about it, you were burning a hole. I never forget it. You was burning a hole. Like, you was like, nah, your fingers was tight and your eyes was tight. You were like, I can't stand you right now. Like, you were just like, ain't no way, I'm not doing it. We were laughing, not laughing at you, but when you could see yourself and your resistance. And so it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror, but when you have people who lovingly support you, right, on the other side of it. But that night, that was the biggest mountain. So I talked about how the scripture says, if you tell that mountain to go throw itself into the sea, it shall be done unto you. So that issue was such a mountain. And now you're saying it's such a small thing, right? It was so little. Once you got over it, and then you look back, you're like, I can't believe I thought that this was the biggest mountain ever. And that was a pebble. But now looking at all your other challenges are now small as well, because you got past the thing that you thought would kill you.
Yeah. Just taking a step.
So tell the ladies how you feel after the you know, because the forgiveness piece, like there are certain components in everybody's process where one or two things really, and it's your individual thing that's going to set you free. But when you forgave, you came like, you know, you glowing like a glow stick, you know, you initially looked 15 years younger. Immediately, everybody was like, oh my God. And then it's 20 years. And now today we're like 25. So Tuli's now like 21. But how has your quality of life changed after forgiving?
It has changed immensely, I must say. It has changed in terms of how I view life and how I really interact with people around me as well. And I think some of the things that maybe would offend me, now I, you know, I look at them and say, oh my gosh, I know, you know, I would be offended by this, and I would react probably in a very different manner. But I, you know, when some of those things happen, I just laugh at those and really move forward without letting those things to really impact me as well. So I think in terms of just being, you know, self-awareness, that is really that forgiveness has helped me as well to sort of gain a more self-awareness of some of the things that maybe I'm more aware of that maybe happen around me, being with my family, my kids, how I engage with them as well, how I try as well to be less. I like to have control over things and also control over them, but I'm just learning to allow them to be who they are, and you know, and not to really try to be too controlling as well. So I think for me, the forgiveness has helped me in that way, that I'm really trying to inculcate a really different habits, particularly in my life, that will ensure that I still have that calmness and peace in peace that I had, you know, I would normally exude in my life. So I've tried to build on some self-care practices as well, meditation as well. I've tried to build some of those, also inculcating my spiritual as well on a, you know, daily conversations as well. So that's what I've tried some of those habits, just to try and make sure that I enhance my quality of life. I think one of the things that has also shaped me as well, you know, through forgiveness was just being decisive. If I being decisive and being intentional about if I want to do something, really let me, I don't want to be overthinking about it. I just have to make a decision and live with that decision without any regrets, because that's something that I really struggled with, you know, before embark on this journey. So that's one of the things that I'm trying to really deal with. Stop overthinking, be decisive and being intentional in your decisions, and don't regret. Take everything as a learning curve and just move forward and don't really harbor any regrets afterwards. So that's how my quality of life has improved, just by instilling those habits, being self-aware. You know, self-awareness has been critical, embedding like meditation as well. Also, you know, having that spiritual daily planner and, you know, yeah, as part of my daily routines as well. I've joined the gym, but I'm still trying, you know, we're still trying to make sure that we get there. But I do some like minor stretches there and there, which is something that I do, at least even if it's twice a week. But I think that's one thing that I was really happy about, because even joining the gym, I did not even think about it. I thought about it, say, okay, we're going to join the gym this weekend. And we went on and signed up for the gym, so which was something great. And it's something that is also, you know, I've done, which is something that I would not have done, you know. But that's something that it's really special to me. That also was something that is out of the box. And I would think of myself, you know, in prior years, because I'm very conservative, I would not have thought of doing, of taking that leap of faith. So my quality of life has really changed post-forgiveness. I'm just, you know, like living life as it is today. And I like this motto that says, all we have is now. All we have is now. We don't have any other time, you know. So I'm trying to really capitalize and maximize on the present moment as possible as I can.
I love it. You touched on something that was so good. And I think it's a challenge that a lot of women have in the workplace, is once you were able to forgive, right? And just let baggage go. Really, that's what it's about. It's letting go stuff that happened in the past that you're carrying with you into every day. When you could be offended by what people say to you, is because you're holding on to offense. Like, if you're holding on to the baggage of offense and to the thoughts of offense, yeah, everybody's going to be able to trigger you because you're in pain and they're just adding to your pain. And when you let that stuff go and people say stuff, you just kind of look at them and you're like, yeah, you're not as offended, which is shocking to yourself. Yeah. Because you're like, wait a minute, wait, I didn't get mad. You know? They didn't. I'm confused, because I would have set it off a month ago. And now I'm like, I don't care. A lot of women are creating their own barriers, I would say, to senior leadership, because by the time you become a senior leader, you carry so much baggage that you're going to set it off at any moment. Give the ladies a little bit more of a deep dive into your, whenever you let go of the spirit of offense because you forgave, now you're just, and I made that connection, seeking more ways to feel good.
That is true, because I think when you really live on offenses, you are not really, it drains you. It just makes you a horrible person as well. And you really become far removed from who you are as an individual. So I think now I just, you know, I laugh, because when somebody offends me, I just look at them and say, okay, you know, I don't know what drove them to do what they do.
But you're having a bad day.
Yeah, I don't care to take them into pay more a lot of attention to what they have done. But I think what I'm just trying to do is just protect my spirit. I don't want to, you know, to allow anything that is really going to contaminate my spirit and take me back to where I was before. And I think it's time. You know, once you allow time to heal you, it helps you a lot to be able to deal with some of those challenges as well that as an individual you'd sometimes be prone to. And also just your self-awareness. I think for me, that self-awareness really of saying, I don't have to, you know, to be bothered by what they are doing. Is this really important? You know, how does this affect me in a way? Does it really change who I am? It doesn't, you know, and sometimes once you start looking at things in that manner, it frees you as an individual because you really understand that my happiness is not really dependent on somebody else. How they treat me is not a reflection of who I am, but it's a reflection of who they are as an individual, you know. So I don't have to be really paying attention to those. And I'm not saying in a very ignorant manner that people would really take you for granted, but I think sometimes we really have to be vigilant because people can be intentional in how they want to make you feel and intentional in how they want you to react in those things so that they can go back and say, I've done this, you know, I've got that individual, you know, look at her now, she's mad and all of those things. But really, it's understanding that we have the power, you know, of controlling those things. We don't have to be controlled by some of the external things that really we experience. And that takes time. It comes with time and it comes with understanding yourself and learning, you know, what are some of the tools that you can employ in order for you to be able to really counteract those actions.
You know, we know we hear the saying that hurting people hurt people. And Eckhart Tolle calls it pain bodies. So if I'm in pain and I'm mad, I'm going to come now and inflict pain on you. So now we can have shared pain. So, and this can be people who are at work, but it also works with friends too, Lee, where I'm having a great day. And then you call me and then we start talking about our shared dysfunction and our shared trauma. Now we both miserable. When you talk about the self-awareness and I wrote down, when you find joy, you don't want to let it go. You're like, you know what? I finally tapped into a feeling that I haven't felt in a long, long time. There is no way I'm going to give it up. I don't care what happens. I always say, do I have to come down off my unicorn to address this issue? Right? Because I ride unicorns. And if I got to get off my unicorn to come and address it, it's not worth it for me. You're like this. We're just going to ride on by and we're just going to see what happens. So, yep. So tell the ladies, you're guarding your spirit and you're guarding your joy. What other things do you want to add to that? Because I know you got something to say.
Yeah. So I'm guarding my spirit. I'm guarding my joy. I'm guarding my peace of mind as well.
You said time heals. And I was thinking to myself, too, it's only been 3 months. So do you or did you think that it was possible to change this much? One ever, but then this much in 3 months. It's only been 3 months.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really, I couldn't think that, you know, within 3 months I would see such a huge change, I must say. But I think because of how the program is structured, you know, because the first 8 weeks, you are really just doing a deep dive. Going back, you know, what are some of the core or underlying issues that you're struggling with and just pivot into, you know, into other areas as well of your life. And because of that holistic approach, that's why the results have been so eminent within a period of 3 months. And hence I'm saying time heals, but I think probably that's one area that I needed to deal with. There are other areas that I still need to tackle, which, you know, over time, I will also be able to see some of the positive results as well. But I must say within these 3 months, really there's been an immense change that I have observed within myself and how I tackle stuff. I'm more calm. I'm more at peace. I'm no longer like fretting and overthinking. I'm more relaxed, you know, which is what I used to be. But I think just, you know, the new environment has sort of shaken me a bit, but I'm more content now, and I'm really taking it one day at a time and then living for the moment. Yeah, which hence I'm saying time heals, but you know, there's quite a lot of things that I still need to overcome. But for now, within the 3 months, I'm happy with the results.
Yeah, spirit understands we're never really done until we're done, until we expire. When you were talking about you're at peace, I'm content, I have joy, we're in 2020. The year of everybody's going crazy. And I tell people all the time, my clients are chilling. Like, so what's the difference between where you are and how you see other people are responding in the world? What would you say is the biggest difference?
I think the biggest difference, which some of us will really struggle with, I think with this time that we currently living in, which has a sort of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear as well, you know, a lot of people, because they don't know what tomorrow holds for them as well. And there's really a lot of fear around that. I think that's what we are witnessing, during this year of 2020 as well. But I think from my end, just having the faith, and trust that, this is not permanent. You know, whatever that we've gone through, it's not permanent. It will pass as well. And I think it also boils down to your faith, to your faith as well, that grounds you to understand that you have there's a bigger power that is protecting us, and we may not understand what is happening, but he knows, and he has the solutions for us. And I think once we understand that as people, that we are not our own making, but there's something that is bigger than us that is really in control, we learn to surrender, and we learn to trust, to give all to God, to say, just take control, and we trust you, and you lead us. So from my I think from my end, just having that perspective, and that has sort of helped me in navigating this difficult difficult period that we currently. And I think also it was a blessing as well for us, because probably if it had not happened, I would not have had this opportunity really of engaging with with you, Christy, and meeting you as well, so it was a blessing that we had to experience or go through this period, so that some of us we can also be able to start getting back to remembering who we are, remembering what are some of the things that really create or make us as well. How can we build on that so that we can have more energy and strength to face the future, or what lies ahead of us. So it has been a blessing, I must say.
So so I know we got to close because you got to go, but when I think about how crazy this year is, if you're rooted, you are able to get rooted, or I would say greater rooted in your faith and your spirituality, because you became more rooted in yourself. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are having challenges with what's going on in the outside world. But when you have peace within the outside world, you're like, well, wherever God takes me, I'm going to go. But it's hard to do that unless you get rooted back into who you are and just be solid and throw your hands up and be like, if this happens, I know it's all going to work out. It all works together for my good. And you start to believe truly what you've actually been saying, and you can like own it and stand it. You'd be like this. No, everything works together for my good. Like, what's going to happen? I don't know. But it's going to be great. You got fired. Well, I know he got something better around the corner. So any last 30-second word that you have for the ladies?
Yeah, I think what I can just say to the ladies, I think really let's own our power. Let's understand that we have seeds of greatness within us. And let's not allow other people to define to define us and tell us who we are. And let's just start celebrating our wins, whether small or big wins. Let's be our own cheerleaders. And that's something that I've struggled with. But I think once you start being your own cheerleader and you start, you start liberating yourself as well, mentally, your mind and soul as well. Be who we are and do us and not other people.
All right, Tuli Buttons, thank you so much. thank you so much for showing up for the interview. Thank you for the insight that you shared. I know that millions of people are going to be touched by this. So thank you so much. Take care, and I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thanks,
Tuli.
Thank you for investing your time with us today. Get Christy's free case study, How to Pivot in Your Career and Recession-Proof Your Income Without Getting Another Degree, at www.changenowwithchristy.com. Until next time, be sure to subscribe to our channel and share this episode with a woman who needs it. Your life will never be the same for the best.
Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.